Hi, everybody. Welcome to this Berkshire conference call. This is Evan Mulch, the field coordinator for the John Birch Society in South Carolina, Georgia, and North Carolina. I have with me on this conference call Rafe Davis. And Rafe, his number one item he's trying to expose is the vaccines and what they're putting in vaccines and why so much of what goes into them are dangerous for people. And so he's spent a lot of time educating me on this. And we've written a lot of articles about this in the New American Magazine. And so anyways, Rafe is out of Asheville, North Carolina, not too far away from where I live in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And so I wanted to have him on this conference call to talk about, you know, what's in these vaccines and why people should be concerned. Rafe, welcome to the call.
Thanks, Evan. Appreciate it.
And to start out, why did you get involved in this? Because you run a business, and most
right.
business people don't get involved because, you know, it's not
sure.
popular for businessmen to get involved in political issues like this. So
right.
go ahead and talk about how you got involved.
Yeah, my wife was a nurse. She had a 4-year nursing degree, and she worked a little bit as a nurse, but before we had our first child, my daughters are 24, 20, and my son is 17. And when the girls were little, we vaccinated them for everything. And my wife, being a nurse, believed that vaccines were extremely important and that, you know, we should have them vaccinated for everything, including the flu shot. My oldest daughter had a terrible time with her stomach and her digestion, and we now know that that's a common side effect of vaccinations, is digestive troubles and distended bellies and a lot of issues. It also can cause colic, and of course SIDS is listed as a potential adverse reaction on most of the inserts. So, you know, when you start to study vaccinations and you study ingredients, you find one of the causes of many of the ailments that I guess ail society today, including cancer. Of all things, cancer is extremely the big surprise for me. And I'll just cut to the chase on that, because I think that is the something that needs to be shared loud and far and wide. These vaccines, everyone needs to study how vaccines are manufactured. And one of the best places to learn that is in the book called The Incredible, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. And that's Lacks, L-A-C-K-S. That is a pro-vaccination book that talks about how the polio vaccines were produced. And to make a long story short, virtually all polio vaccines were produced on one lady's cervical cancer tumor cell, which they call HeLa cells. They use names like continuous cell lines or immortal cell lines. They don't tell you it's a cancer cell line. They're actually growing your vaccines, especially the polio vaccine, on a human cancer tumor cell line that replicates itself indefinitely. Her cell line is still in use today all over the world. It's famous. It's called the HeLa cell line.
And yep. You called it an immortal cell. Is that what you called it earlier? Or
that's
some
what,
people call
that's
it
what,
this?
That's what they call it. That's the name of the book. And the book is so famous, they made a movie, an HBO movie about this book in 2010. And the star of the movie was Oprah Winfrey. And Oprah is currently, as we speak, she's on a national wellness tour with other celebrities per city, and she is promoting vaccinations, especially the flu vaccine and the pneumonia vaccine. So we're dealing with a very wealthy, organized push by the pharmaceutical industry to vaccinate us under any and all circumstances. And the information on how these are produced and what the ingredients are and what's included in those shots is brushed over, ignored. The people that are, you know, anti-vaxxers are labeled as crazy and insane. However, I thought the same thing until I learned what was in the vaccines. And I think once we all have a chance to look at what's in the vaccines, we all become ex-vaxxers or anti-vaxxers really quickly. I don't care if you're liberal, moderate, or conservative. No one wants these ingredients injected into their veins or their children's veins. I've yet to find someone, once they know what's in these vaccines, that will continue to get them. So,
very interesting how the polio vaccine was made. And I've read a book called Dr. Mary's Monkey, where it talks about how the polio vaccine was made with monkey cells. I guess some of the cancer cells from the monkeys were put into it. It's a lot to go into.
That's why I try to simplify it, and I try to give the most shocking information first, because the shocking information, the one thing anti-vaxxers do wrong is they go into the weeds on saying, oh, this causes autism, or it doesn't cause autism, or it causes this. How about we bypass those arguments and let's just go straight to the ingredients and the production processes. That's the same way as your food. I mean, you want to be sure your food's produced in a clean environment, sanitary environment, and you want to be sure it's organic and it's got good ingredients. Well, let's do that with vaccinations. And like you said about Dr. Mary's monkey, those were vaccines initially were grown on monkey kidney cells. That's correct. Mm-hmm. And those monkey kidney cells had a cancer virus called simian virus 40, SV40. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Bernice Eddy discovered that. Now, many think that SV40 was actually, you know, intended to be in those vaccines. And many people, maybe I'm still undecided, think that this was not by chance. This was by design. But the monkey kidney cells were discovered by Bernice Eddy. She blew the lid on it, spoke about it at the NIH. So they got discovered on the monkey kidney cancer virus. Mm-hmm. They had to stop using monkey kidney cells. So they went to something I think is even worse, which is cervical cancer, human cancer tumor cell line called HeLa cells, immortal cell lines. Mm-hmm. And if everyone has pulled up, possibly, I don't know, right on the phone has pulled up the vaccine excipient summary on Google right now, it doesn't really hide this from you. It's right here, hidden in plain sight. You can go in the beginning where it says preservatives. It talks about thimerosal. Mm-hmm. Thimerosal is mercury, one of the most toxic, maybe the second most toxic mineral or ingredient in the world. It tells you it's in there. Where they get you is they tell you it is all just small amounts. It even says it in the first sentence up here. Vaccines contain very small amounts of other ingredients, excipients. Well, mm-hmm. these small amounts add up, and I don't think they're as small as they tell us. And you know, it even tells you that these can include cell culture materials on the third paragraph. It says cell culture materials. Now, those cell culture materials, they will use, for example, egg protein. Well, that's the most benign example they could use. Mm-hmm. The egg protein is virtually no longer used. What is used now the monkey kidney cells are still used today, even though they got discovered to back in the 50s and 60s to contain SV40, they're still used today. Nobody stopped these people from using monkey kidney cells. And as a matter of fact, we can scroll on down and look and see there are places where it calls it vero cells. you've got bovine albumin. And how these HeLa cells let's look at, if you guys will look at the Hep A Havrix vaccine on the first page of the ingredients list. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You'll see a little thing that says MRC5. Okay,
that's it. I see it. Yeah,
that's an aborted fetal cell line right there.
Wow.
And if you want to look at you guys, we all could form us a little lab on Evan on my excipient list. You can go into Coriel.org and purchase this aborted fetal cell line, and it describes where it came from. And you can purchase it. Now, that's just one of many aborted fetal cell lines. Now, the other one is WI-38. Let's go to the second page. Okay. Again, you'll see MRC5, which is Hep A, Hep B, MRC5, human diploid cells.
Right.
Let's
okay,
see.
So those diploid cells are in, okay, so what are the diploid cells?
Well, those are usually from it's a human lung culture, and the diploid cells are aborted fetal cell cultures. Now, if you guys really want to get, here's the beauty of it, or here's the, I guess the beauty of it, the information is abundant now, and the stuff I'm talking about, I used to talk about this, say, 5, 6, 7 years ago, and all I had to go by was this excipient list. And today, it is incredible how much information is out there. Probably the best summary of all this would be a brand new updated documentary called A Shot in the Dark, 2020 version. And it goes into a lot of these ingredients, and it also gives a deposition from a guy named Stanley Plotkin, Dr. Stanley Plotkin, who is the he's to vaccinations what Henry Ford was to the automobile. He is, as a matter of fact, he actually wrote the textbook on vaccines. I've got his textbook, and he's the main author of the textbook on vaccines. Well, apparently there was a lady suing the pharmaceutical company about being able to use her religious exemption because of the aborted fetal cell lines that they use to make vaccinations. And he had to go into a deposition and admit that they're basically taking organs from aborted fetuses and using them to discover cell lines that will replicate themselves indefinitely. They're all looking for the next HeLa cell, like the one used for the polio vaccine.
Okay.
So he admitted under oath that for one vaccine study, they used 76 aborted fetuses.
Wow.
And that's all in that documentary called A Shot in the Dark, the 2020 version of that. He also explained how the aborted fetuses were basically sliced and diced and used for vaccine production. Okay. The production of vaccinations is nothing short of just something out of a horror movie. When they do find an immortal cell line, which could be from an aborted fetus or a monkey kidney cell or a human tumor, like in the case of Henrietta Lacks, they have to feed it. They have to feed those cells. And if you'll look, maybe go back to the first page of the ingredients list, you'll see, let's say the DTaP vaccination, the very last DTaP, it'll say bovine serum.
The penta cell here. Okay. So
yep,
bovine
yep,
serum. Yeah, it's on here. Yeah.
Bovine serum albumin. That's cow blood they use to feed the cell line. Whichever that one they're using, monkey kidney, aborted fetal, or human tumor, that's the ingredients they're using. Now, it's been admitted there's many books. Some of the best information is in the pro-vaccine books because they go in here and they'll brag about how they've overcome so many obstacles and how it's just a wonderful thing for science. And one book called A Conspiracy of Cells by Michael Gold, and it talks about the immortal cell line of Henrietta Lacks and the scandal that it caused, which the scandal they're talking about isn't the fact that they're injecting you with cancer DNA. That's not a scandal, right?
Right.
The scandal is that they didn't get informed consent from Henrietta Lacks, okay? But they don't need informed consent from me or you to allow them to inject cancer DNA into our veins. Okay, that's not the issue. But on that, in this book, page 22, it talks about how the Henrietta Lacks cells had to be fed, and a lady named Mary Kubasek was great at keeping culturing tissue to keep it alive. And it said that in order to keep the HeLa cells alive, when they were first discovered and they first realized that these cells would replicate indefinitely, they said that quote, she had them dining on clotted chicken plasma, chopped beef embryo, and the blood from human placentas. And it said with that, with those ingredients, the surviving cancer cells of Henrietta Lacks were living quite comfortably and thriving, in fact.
So this is their book that they wrote.
This is a book by a guy named Michael Gold, and it's called A Conspiracy of Cells, and it's actually from Science Digest. Here's what the great modern scientists say about this book. It says, and it's on the back of it, it says, an outstanding science reporter, Michael Gold looks beyond the cold precision of science to the human side. He makes it all too clear that sometimes only scientists are only human. So what he's doing is he's talking about the bumps in the road and some of the issues that came about developing this wonderful HeLa cell that they tell us is a marvelous thing for us. Okay. And that's what the movie was made. That's why the book was written, called The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. And they use the word immortal they call these cell lines, you can Google it, immortal cell lines, or they call it continuous cell lines.
Okay.
And one of the best websites is Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s current website called Children's Health Defense. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is one of the best places to go for good general information. He goes in and he's got many articles about these continuous cell lines and how they cause cancer. But they cause cancer because many of them are tumorigenic, or they are tumors themselves. And that's the shocking truth of it all. And this stuff's got to be spread. People need to wake up. They've got us debating things that are, I mean, listen, vaccines cause autism, in my opinion. Vaccines cause everything. They cause SIDS. They cause, with the formaldehyde that's in there now, it causes, they now have linked formaldehyde to ALS. Guillain-Barré syndrome is listed on pretty much all the flu vaccine inserts. Okay, Guillain-Barré is a really fancy name for French polio.
Wow.
And you can look up the word French polio or Guillain-Barré, and it'll tell you that, you know, it's another name for French polio. It's a generic term for a lot of diseases that we suffer from today, especially like Parkinson's. It can cause, you know, neurological damage. It can cause paralysis. Guillain-Barré is a catch-all. It can cause meningitis. And as you go through this ingredients, you know, they're telling you all these ingredients are just trace amounts. But none of these ingredients are healthy for you. And it just adds up. And so, you know, you go on down the line, MRC5, one that applies, I don't know who all's listening in, if they're from North Carolina or South Carolina, but go on to the third page, I think it is. It's the Flusivax, influenza vaccine.
Okay, I've got that pulled up here on the video. Okay.
Yep. Influenza, Flusivax, you'll see it says Maiden Darby Canine Kidney, MDCK, right?
MDCK, yes.
That's a Cocker Spaniel cell line. And that is used primarily to make the flu vaccine in North Carolina at the Holly Springs plant. And I forget the name of the pharmaceutical company that runs it. But this Maiden Darby Canine Kidney cell line has been deemed by the FDA to be possibly tumorigenic. Okay, so even the FDA admits that injecting Cocker Spaniel cells into a human bloodstream might cause tumors. And they said it's a major, this is their words, a major safety concern. So these are things that
sounds like to me all these vaccines are a safety concern just by reading what's in them.
They really are. And I'll be honest with you. I am I am very political, and I'm, you know, like to keep up with all this stuff, but this is, in my opinion, when you understand what are in these vaccinations and what these are criminals putting in poison that if you or I were to give any of these ingredients to somebody in a shot glass, Evan, we could be arrested.
And there's no way to sue them. They've got complete immunity.
They've got complete immunity. That's right. And but my take is, to me, and I think once everyone learns and studies it and the information that's now available, this is our number one issue. Okay? So not only are they poisoning us and giving us cancer DNA, mm-hmm. formaldehyde, cocker spaniel DNA, monkey kidney cell DNA, aborted fetal cell DNA. Okay. They're trying to take, at the same time, they're trying to take away all of our exemptions through legislation. And this is something that there needs to be an awakening on this, because we all can sit here and debate gun control, and which I'm a big proponent of the Second Amendment. And right. we need to debate that. But this can come down. All you got to do is go watch that documentary, A Shot in the Dark, the 2020 version. California lost their exemptions 4 or 5 years ago. A guy named Richard Pan, P-A-N, he's an Asian man, pushed hard to take away all religious exemptions in California. And thousands and thousands of parents and mothers and fathers protested that law, but it passed anyway. So people had to move out of California. Okay. Now, what happened was, the only exemption that was available to those families in California was a medical exemption. Well, guess what happened? Medical exemptions went through the roof. Okay. Unless you wanted to homeschool your child or move out of California, you better have a medical exemption if you want your kid to go to public school. Mm-hmm. That's what's been happening in California. So the doctors were being pressured by the parents to give medical exemptions for various reasons. So they were given tons of medical exemptions, and that's how parents were getting around having to vaccinate their kids, especially the parents that had become aware and awake to what's in these things. Okay, so now Mr. Pan, the same guy, is now, they just passed legislation that's going to limit medical exemptions. A doctor can only give like 5 a year.
Wow.
So this thing gets worse and worse. And if you'll follow what's happened in California, and then realize, everybody needs to wake up and realize that New York just lost their religious exemptions in July of 2019. The state of Maine lost their religious exemptions in May of 2019. Mm-hmm. New Jersey has a bill that they've tried to vote on it twice, but the protests were so large at the Capitol building, they had to postpone the vote twice. So New Jersey is fighting back, and New Jersey is kind of a line in the sand, in my opinion.
So we don't have much time left, but the big questions people have are, when I run into them, was there ever a vaccine that worked and that was actually okay? Second, was the polio vaccine what stopped polio from spreading? And third, why does my family doctor, who I personally trust and know, never warn me about this?
Okay, let's go backwards on that. The family doctor never learns about anything negative about any drugs or any vaccinations. Most of the medical schools are bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical industry. A buddy of mine, his wife is a doctor, and she's just now waking up to this information. He and I have had to inform her of this. And in many cases, you'll know, once you study this, you'll know more than your pediatrician. And it's not that they're bad people. They just have never been taught this. All they've been taught is that vaccines are safe and effective. It's like a George Orwell 1984 propaganda statement. Mm-hmm. It's scary. This is bad news. My wife gets mad at me. She goes, "You're scaring people." I said, "Well, they should be scared. This isn't good." Now, what was your second question, Evan?
The polio vaccine, did it stop the polio, epidemic from spreading?
Well, that depends on, as the more you know, then you kind of have to make up your own mind on that. The polio vaccine, the incidences of polio got the officially by the CDC, and there's books written about this. They changed the diagnosis from 1 year to the next. From they limit the, they said these symptoms are no longer polio after they'd been vaccinating kids for about a year or two, and they said these symptoms are now going to be called meningitis. Okay, and when you learn of the side effects of the polio vaccine, I mean, and these other vaccines, it's not illogical to think that the vaccines themselves might have been causing polio or Guillain-Barré. Okay, polio is another name for Guillain-Barré syndrome, and Guillain-Barré is listed on virtually all the vaccine inserts. So the side effect of polio or French polio is listed on the inserts. And so I'm not a doctor, and I'm not telling anyone not to get vaccinated. Okay. Right. But I am telling you what is in them. If you went to a restaurant and someone told you that, you know, the pancakes were very good and very healthy, and then you later found out that it had formaldehyde and aborted fetal cells and monkey kidney cells, you might not want to go back and eat those pancakes.
Right.
But
right.
It's up to you. And that's why I say, you know, but this is incredible information for me. I don't want to lose my exemptions. So therefore, I share this information. I don't want my kids are healthy. They overcame it. I thank God that they overcame it. And
so you,
for
you
me,
had, your son couldn't walk at one point, if I remember
my
right.
My son got six vaccines one morning at about 9 o'clock, and by 9:30 he was paralyzed from the waist down. He couldn't move his hips, knees, toes, feet, anything. Mm-hmm. So we thought we had no idea if it would be permanent or temporary. We called the pediatrician back. My wife, we live about 30 minutes away from the doctor. He got his shots. They drove home, came home. He broke out in a rash and all of a sudden just couldn't move his legs from the waist down, or his body from the waist down. Scared us to death. We called the doctor. We told him what was going on. The first thing out of their mouth was, well, it's not the vaccines.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
So the yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's, and
you just
and,
took
you know,
six
that's,
vaccines. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's when our world started unwinding. This, you know, of course he's 17 years old now. He's starting tight end, defensive end for the football team. He's played baseball. Mm-hmm. The good Lord spared him, but I think it's put me on a mission, whether I like it or not, to try to wake as many people up as I can. I'm not alone. There's millions of people like me. These documentaries like Vaxxed or Vaxxed 2, I think Vaxxed 2 is better than Vaxxed 1, actually.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that's something everyone should watch and learn. But it gets worse. This is one of these things where you sit here and think, okay, where's the end of this? Where's this going? Well, it goes into the fact that they're growing your vaccines on cancer tumor cells or monkey kidney cells or aborted fetal cells. Okay? But they might have grown a few on eggs years and years ago, but that's not being used much today. Eggs are the you
so
know,
there could have been
gone.
Clean vaccines at the very start, right? I mean, they weren't.
I think so, but the more I go back and look at it, I don't think so. I personally don't think so. I think the vaccine program is designed to make us. The pharmaceutical industry doesn't make money when you're dead off of you if you're dead. They don't make money off of you if you're healthy. They make money somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. And I think it's maybe just me being very skeptical. I think this is a well-designed program.
Population control program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. What else do you think? I mean, there's nothing in here that I found is healthy. The ingredients they've listed in here are, matter of fact, there used to be a website. It got taken down. There's a website where you could click on every single ingredient and it would link to what it was and what it's used for. Mm-hmm. And I used to use that a lot, and it's gone now. Sherry Tenpenny had put that up, and then it got taken off. But what happened was that one of them was for tanning leather, one that I can't even pronounce. Okay, So nothing I found is a healthy ingredient. So it's very scary. The meningococcal vaccine, if you want to go and look at the one that says CRM197 protein, that is a diphtheria toxin. CRM197 is a diphtheria toxin.
Now, where's that on the page here?
Let's see here.
Near the end?
It is actually, let's see, it's also in the pneumococcal vaccine. It's in the...
Okay.
Meningococcal.
Oh, here it is. I got it right here.
And the very last page, you can look at the pneumonia vaccine, Prevnar 13. Everyone's heard of Prevnar 13, okay? It's CRM197. That is a dip. Look it up.
There it is.
Diphtheria.
There it is.
Okay.
Now, diphtheria, what's diphtheria for those that don't know what that is?
Well, it is a it's a very nasty. That's what the DPT shot's for, is to prevent you from getting diphtheria.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know a lot about what it is. I think it's a bacteria. I think it's very, dangerous, and it can cause you to be very sick. That's why they have the DPT shots for these kids. Okay,
yeah.
But if you get a pneumonia vaccine, they're giving it back to you.
Yeah. Well, we got to end this.
It makes no sense.
We got to end this call. We'll probably do part two in at a future date. My awakening moment for me was when Dr. Oz was on a YouTube video that I saw where he was explaining that he doesn't give his kids vaccines.
Right.
And I thought, wow, this is a guy promoting vaccines on his show, national television, and he is publicly saying he doesn't give his kids vaccines. So that was my awakening moment to where I thought, wow, there's something here. I do want to point people to an article on the New American website. It's called Forced Vaccinations. Is it time for Big Brother to become your doctor? And that's written by Rebecca Terrell, and that's dated May 7th, 2019. We have a lot of great articles about vaccinations, and
sure,
and they're really awakening people. And of course, what you've just gone into, Rafe, is further than what I think the New American Magazine's gone into. But I think you've got your facts lined up right, and I do hope that there's an article based upon what you just talked about in the near future. Maybe this video that
sure.
we're doing, this podcast that we're doing, will awaken some people, and maybe we'll get an article done in the near future on this topic. Okay, so everybody remained on the line, so the conference call did not scare people enough to where they jumped off the call. So we're gonna go into the Q&A session. Rafe, thank you so much for doing what you do, and you know, you have a busy life, but this is so important. I definitely
sure, Evan. I'm glad to help out. I hope it's informative for people. That's really all I want, is for people to wake up, and let's protect our exemptions at least. At the very least.
Absolutely. You know. Absolutely. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this. If you're listening to this on the Bircher podcast, please share this episode and listen to more. And that's how we're going to win, is through education. So just do your best to get the word out. If you're watching this on my YouTube channel, please subscribe and share the YouTube video so you can keep getting these and keep learning more and more about what's happening. So thanks, everybody. We're going to stop the recording, and we're going to move into the Q&A session of the conference call.
Okay, sure.